around verse number 19 through 26. It says, "And ye have this day rejected your God, whom himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulation. And you have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the tribe of Merah was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, they could not find. He could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, "Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff." And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulder and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said before, and said, "God save the king." And Samuel told the people the manner of kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it upon up therefore before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gilgal. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today, Jesus, that we've come, Lord, to lift you up and to give you praise today. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, as Sister Alice said earlier, that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. Lord, we thank you for the word that you have given us today, Lord, for your holy word that you have left us. I pray that you will anoint me, Lord, to speak this word, that you would anoint their ears to receive it today. And Lord, I bind the powers of Satan and I plead your blood. Let no one walk out of this building the way they come, Lord. But let them walk out of here knowing, Lord, that they've been in your presence and knowing that all is under the blood. I pray right now, Jesus, that you will, Lord, let your spirit just move upon us, Lord. And I know if anything's going to become of the remainder of this service, it's not because of any flesh, but it's simply because of you. And Lord, we just trust in you today and we ask for your will to be done in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I've preached on this several times, and I know you've heard this preached several times, but the Lord began to deal with me, and I didn't have a whole lot prepared, and I sat there today, and the Lord began to deal with me more and more and more, and this morning, when after I ate a little breakfast there, I began to write things down, the Lord began to deal with me, and the more I wrote down, it seemed like the bigger this got, amen, and the more I began to see how it had come a part of my life, and it's become a part of people in this church's life, but I'm asking today if you'll just simply listen to this word, amen, listen to this word this morning, and apply it to your life, that I believe everybody in this building can walk out of this building and be stronger in the Lord. Amen. Can be mightier in the faith. Amen. Because the Bible says he dealt to every man a measure of faith. And that applies to women as well. He dealt to every man, every woman, a measure of faith. Now what we do with that faith is left up to us. Amen. We can either sit on that faith or we can exercise that faith. And I found out the more you exercise anything, the stronger it gets. Amen. And church today, it's left up to you and I what we're going to do with that faith today. Amen. He said this here in verse 19. And he says, "You have this day rejected your God." Amen. "Whom himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulation." Now we know the story here, that the children of Israel, they wanted a king. The reason why they wanted this king, Brother Hunter, was because all the other nations had a king. Amen. Amen. Because all the other nations had a king. So therefore, they wanted to be just like all the other nations. Church, I got news for you today. There's a lot of people and a lot of denominations, a lot of churches. Everywhere you go, you can find a church in this America that we live in. But church, you can only be a part of one church at one time. Amen. You can only be a part of one church. And what the Lord has for you to do in that church is what you've got to do is listen to the Lord and He'll reveal it to you for that particular church. But He said this, "We have rejected the Lord that day because we want to be like the other people." And church, are we ever going to have a revival? We got to reject all that's going on in every church up and down this road and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do in this church? Because this is the church that I'm a part of today." Amen. And I believe we can have a move of God. I believe we can see somebody roll in here on a gurney and get up and walk out of here. I believe that because I know Brother Jerry, he's still the same today as he was yesterday. He has not changed. And I tell you, Sister Al, it will come back to that place where we call upon him. It will come back to that place where we have that relationship. It will come back to that place where he's still Lord of Lords and Lord of our lives. Then we can see the power of God move again. Amen. But they wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted to have a king. My, did Samuel start that out? He said, "This day Y'all have rejected God because God wanted to be the king over Israel. He wanted to be the leader. He wanted to be the one in control. And I tell you, Sister Lottie, as long as He's in control of our life, things will always go the way they're supposed to go. But when we ever get into the place that we begin to control our life on our own thoughts, our own ideas, we have rejected God because we're wanting to be like somebody else. Amen. I thank the Lord for that prayer request that Brother Barr asked. He said, my son and my son's wife, they need a place to live, and they want the Lord to lead them to a place that they can find a good church and the kids can find good kids to play with. Why? Because we want Him still to be the Lord of our lives and church. That's what you and I have to do every day. We got to get up Monday through Friday, Monday through Sunday, Monday through every day, and say, Lord, I want You to be Lord of my life today. Amen. Because the first time that we say, I want to be just like this one down here, or I want to be just like that one over there, we have rejected God. We have rejected God. We don't do it intentionally lots of times, but we simply get to that point there that we see something that we like, and we see how smooth it seems like it goes, and we say, I want to be just like that. I tell you, we've tried programs after programs after programs. We've tried to meet this away. We've tried to meet that away. I tell you, we've seen all kinds of things, but until God is still God and He's still Lord over your life, you'll never come to that place that He can use you. Amen. Amen. We've got to do what He wants us to do. We've got to be in His will, and we've got to submit ourselves to His calling. Amen. Because, see, for you to be saved today, the Bible says, no man coming to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And for you to become a believer, that Spirit had to draw you. And you had to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And for that Spirit to draw you, therefore, you had to humble yourself and submit yourself to come under His rule. And when you come under His rule, therefore, not only is He your Savior, but He's your King. Amen. He's your King. He's your leader. He's your strength. He's your guidance. He's your help every day. But when you come to that place that you say, I'm going to do it on my own, that's when you're going to get out and you're going to begin to do things that you think your works is going to get you there. It ain't going to get you there, because that very moment you have rejected God. But when you go back to that place, when you come to your knees and you said, Lord, I need You to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart, you weren't worried about what was happening up and down the road. You weren't worried about what was going on across the street. You was worried about what was going on in your heart. Amen. And that's where the Lord wants to bring us back to. Amen. I'm going to move on. You get on down here in verse number 21. Last part of that verse there. And it says, when they sought Him, they could not find Him. Amen. That's going to happen a lot of ways. There's two ways that's going to happen. There's people who are going to seek God one day, and they're not going to be able to find Him. I believe it was Brother Charles' testimony last Sunday night, I think it was, where he said he went to church. He knew that he was not saved, and he knew he needed to get saved because his mom and daddy had told him about it all his life. But he said, I went to church on that particular service, and the Lord did not deal with me. He said it bothered me the whole week because the Lord did not deal with him. Church, there's coming a time that people have turned their back on God so many times that the Lord's not going to deal with them no longer. Amen. And they're going to seek Him. They're going to call upon Him. But yet, the Spirit is not dealing with them no more because they've turned their back on God so many times. They have rejected Him so many times. What happened to the children of Israel? We want a king. And the Lord gave them a king. But they found themselves in trouble not many days longer. And they begin to cry out, God save us! God save us! But right here on this page, they're saying, God save the king! Amen! My, how our heart changes when the circumstances changes around our lives. My, how the conditions of life changes our outlook on our salvation. Oh, when everything's on top of the mountaintop, we're saying, God save the king. Amen. But when we're down in the valley, we're saying, Lord, I need You. No wonder we live in the valley so much. No wonder we live in the valley so much. Why? Because we get on that mountaintop, we're saying, God save the king. God save our works. God save what we've done ourselves. Amen. But church, this was just like an insult in God's face when they cried out, God save the king. That showed the very intent of their hearts. That showed where their hearts were. That showed where their ideals were. That showed where their relationship with the Lord was at. Amen. So many times we get to that very point there that we say, Lord, just help me in this right here. Just help me in that right there. When we need to get to the point, say, Lord, help me in my spiritual walk. Amen. Help me right. Get to the core of things. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, church, you can have a bump in your tire and go down that road and shake all the time. The steering wheel about jump out of your hand. Amen. Because you got a lump in your tire and you can work on the engine. You can work on the rear end. You can put new shocks on. You can paint the car. Amen. You can set it and buy it back and you're still going to shake until you get to the core of the problem. And church, when we get to the core of the problem, it's going to be where our spiritual walk with the Lord is where it's going to be at. When we get to that, then we find the answer. Then we get to the core of the problem. But until we get to that, we're simply crying out, God save the king. Where do they find this king? Where do they find this king? Well, it comes time to get the king out and to show him off. Well, after the Lord seen, you know, the Bible says he'll give you the very desires of your heart. We want a king. We want to be proud of our king. So out walks this man who's a head and shoulder taller than everybody else around. Amen. You know why the Lord had him that away? He could have had somebody little like David. He could have had somebody hairy like Samuel. He could have had somebody that looked like John the Baptist eating wild locusts and honey. But yet he sent somebody out that was a head and a shoulder above everybody else because the Lord seen the intent of those people's heart and therefore they wanted a king. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you one that you cannot mistake that he is the king. And then you're going to follow that king and then you're going to come crawling back to me because you neglected me and rejected me that day. Amen. And sometimes I feel like that people get to the point that we get hung up on numbers. Lord, I need more. I need more. We need more. We need more. When we got to get, first of all, that around the house right. And we get that around the house right and get the fire burning there. Then others will come to the fire. Amen. But where did they find our king at? Amen. He said he was ahead and they saw him. They could not find him. And they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should be come, should yet come hither. And the Lord answered, behold, listen to this real closely. It said, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. The stuff. He hath hid himself among the stuff. Who hid himself? The king did. Saul. Amen. Did the people hide him? No. Did God hide him? No. He hid himself among the stuff. They couldn't even find him to start with. Amen. But you know, God had done said he was going to be the king. God had done marked him. And when that spirit draws you and that spirit compels you to come to this altar, it dealt with you to come to this altar and you came to this altar and you knelt down and accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. Therefore, the Lord has sought you. But amen, since that time, where are you at today? Where are you at right now? Where are you at this morning? Are you back there hid among the stuff? Amen. I tell you, God ain't going to put you back there in the stuff. God's not going to hide you in the stuff. He said he hid himself in the stuff. And I tell you, it's going to take you to get out behind the stuff. Amen. Amen. Listen here. I begin to write down here. What's it talking about here? Among the stuff. What can be stuff? What can be where I'm hiding myself at? There's so many things in our life that we can hide ourselves simply to shun the call of God, simply to shun the direction of the Spirit, simply to shun the leading of the Spirit, simply to shun being led and used by the Spirit. There's so much stuff that we can get behind today and hide ourselves in. Amen. This is a big world, fast-paced world, real busy world. People are going, as the book of Daniel said, knowledge would increase in the last days. People will be going to and fro, and we look out here on this highway. Amen. We was out here, I believe it was Friday afternoon. Yeah, Friday afternoon. And I'm telling you, me and Uncle James were talking, and there was a stringer of cars going out of way, but yet there was a stringer going out of way. And you thought, my Lord, where are they all coming from and where are they going? Amen. But it's that way all the time because we're living in the last days and knowledge has increased. And men are going to and fro, just like the book of Daniel says. And therefore, because of this knowledge that is increased, there's a whole lot of stuff that we can hide ourselves in today. And we can justify ourselves in everything that we hide ourselves in. But I'm telling you, if God called you, and He had to call you for you to get saved, amen, it's time that we clear out the path around us, and we beat down the hedges, and get back to what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. But what am I hiding in? Amen. Amen. Well, we know that sometimes people can hide in marital problems. Well, I ain't going to church, praise God. You made me mad, I just ain't a going. Amen. We can hide behind stuff. We can let it be a marital problem. We can say, well, I tell you what there, I ain't a going with you this day. I ain't going to church this Sunday. I'll teach her. Amen. But you know what's going to happen when you sit at home? You're going to dwell on that all day long. And that little bitty fire that started out looks like a little match fire, it's going to turn into a blaze. Amen. And you know what's going to happen if you continue to feed that fire? It's going to consume you and her. And the next thing you know, you're covered up in the stuff and you've lost out with God. Amen. But a lot of things become stuff in our lives that He hid Himself in. Amen. That He put Himself in. Oh, what you saying, brother? I'm saying most of the time we blame it on the devil, and it was nothing to do with the devil. We simply said, I put myself in it. Amen. Amen. The devil gets a lot of blame that he hadn't done. We put ourselves in a lot of stuff. Amen. I know through experience. I've been there too many times, and I pray that every time I find myself in a place like that, that I learn a little something about it, that I learn to recognize what's going on in my life and try to stop it the next time. Amen. We can hide in marital problems. We can hide in our family. Our families can become stuff in our life. Amen. It can become stuff in our life. Amen. We can say, I ain't sitting on a pew with that one, no siree. Sure as I go up there, I'm going to shake my hand. I ain't going to do it. Amen. It's time we get out behind that stuff and let's be children of God. Amen. Let's rise up and say, wait a minute, if Christ is living in me, I'm a light, and a light's got to shine. A light don't go under the carpet. It goes up where it can give light. Amen. But that can become stuff in our life that we hid ourselves in. Amen. Amen. But church, we got to recognize this. Amen. Also this. Loneliness. Loneliness. I'm going to say that again. Loneliness can become stuff that we hide ourselves in. If we get to the point we feel like that we're lonely and nobody wants us, even though you have to root around to find somewhere to sit down, you feel like you're lonely, that is stuff that you can hide yourself in, that you'll get to that point there. And you know what I found out? When you back yourself in a corner and you don't want to hear nobody else, when loneliness creeps in your life, your mind begins to rattle. And I want you to know, an idle mind is the devil's playground every time. It always works out of way. But let me tell you, if you put yourself in that place of loneliness, amen, amen, it takes two to tangle sometimes. You got to be the first one to reach out the hand, amen, before somebody will take care of the hand and shake it with you. But that can become stuff that we hide ourselves in. And that separates us from the love of God, that we can't be used in God's house. Amen. Because God chose you. He chose you. No man come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. And when that Spirit draws you, therefore God has called you. And if He's called you, you are His children today. And therefore, just like Saul was appointed, He said, I have chosen Saul, but yet He's hid Himself among the stuff. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to say this today, that we have to get up. That old song we used to sing over the old white church years ago. We're going to shake off those heavy bands. Amen. It might have seemed a little corny to some people. It might have seemed just insignificant. It might have seemed like it was nothing to it. But I tell you what, as men and women of God every now and then, I believe we need to go back and shake those old hands off of our hands and say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why? Because we are children of God, and therefore we cannot afford to be hidden this stuff. Amen. Amen. But it comes in many faiths, shapes, fashions. Amen. Pride. Oh boy. Pride cometh before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall, what the Bible says. Pride. Pride can become stuff that we're hid in. I'm not going to move until they move first. I'm not going to come out until they come out. Amen. Well, I want you to know, Lord can teach us a lesson on that. Oh, my, can He teach us a lesson on that. You talk about dryness of the Spirit. You talk about dryness of the Spirit. When you get down around this altar and you feel like you can't get a prayer through that ceiling, feel like it's just fighting the devil, just can't get nothing, and the Lord begins to whisper in your ear, pride. You said you ain't going to go see this one. You said you ain't going to pray for this one. You said you ain't never going to speak to this one no more. Amen. And then all of a sudden, those tears begin to pour out, and you say, Lord, please let them get in my path. I want to hug their neck. I want to tell them I love them again. What happened? You just come out of the stuff that pride had put you in. And church, we got to rise up and recognize that He hid Himself. That He hid Himself. And I tell you today, if we're going to be men and women of God, we got to know that. Anger. Anger is another one. Anger will hide you in the stuff. Amen. The Bible says, anger, but sin not. Hey, I know good and well we're going to get mad. I get mad all the time myself. Amen. As long as that heart's pumping in your body, I don't see a halo over nobody's head in here. Amen. Anger is part of your life, whether you like it or not. We're all going to get mad. We're all going to get upset. Amen. You let you leave this building here and you get about halfway home, whether you're going out of the way this way, and somebody pull out in front of you and do about 25 miles an hour. Amen. I'd like to be in the car. I don't want to be in the car. You don't want to be in mine either. Amen. Why? Because anger, the first thing you know, that heart will tighten up and begin to beat a little bit quicker. Those ears will begin to get a little redder. That forehead will begin to get wrinkled up just a little bit. What's happened? Anger showed up. But church, it can hide you from what's going to happen tonight in the service. But I tell you, if you'll recognize it and say, wait a minute, you ain't carrying me back down that path, devil. I ain't getting in that stuff no more. I'm going to rise up and say, praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I can't sing a lick. But I've seen times I've been on that road by myself there. And it's a battle. We know what we got to face. It's a battle to get to town nowadays. I mean, it's a trying of our faith. This one will set it in a red light. It'll turn green. And she's still looking in the mirror or doing them eyes. And you want to be nice. You got Fan Hill Assembly of God on your front tag. You don't want to blow the horn. But really, you want to throw a rock. Amen. Y'all know where I'm coming from. Let's just lay it all out here this morning. Amen. Anger. Anger, anger. But if you'll just take a deep breath, amen. And I know you used to tell me you need a tank to drive through town, amen. I just drove right on, you know. But what are you saying, brother? I'm saying that anger will get a hold of us, and if we let it, it will completely consume us 100%, and we'll be out there hid behind the stuff that is called anger that I allowed myself to get into. Oh, we can say, wait a minute, maybe the Lord kept them there to keep somebody from running into me down the road. We don't know. But we do know one thing. It's part of life. Anger is part of life. And we have to learn to control ourselves. Amen. I just forgot about it. I got a whole message somewhere in there on anger. I mean several pages of it. I said several times I was going to preach on it, but I never have. The Lord hadn't let me. But maybe one day the Lord let me preach on that. I've got a lot of notes and stuff on anger. But anger will hide you in the stuff. Resentment will do the same thing. Resentment will keep you in that place that you cannot. If you resent somebody, if you resent them, how can you come and pray through and open up if you've got resentment in your heart? Now, I'm telling you, we have to let this stuff flow out of us. Because, see, when we stop up that pipe, you know, I wish the Lord would give us, He didn't do this. We need a straight shot right here and right here, where I could lean over and pour water in here and it would run out over here. I believe we'd have been a whole lot better off, but I'm not questioning the way He created, because somewhere between here and here, we allow resentment to hang up when we should have let it went in here and come right out there, because resentment will put you behind the stuff that you cannot be used of God. But church, we've got to realize that's just simply tricks of the devil, and if we put ourselves in those predicaments, we'll find ourselves hid out there behind the stuff, and the Holy Spirit's moving in the church. People are getting saved. The power of God's moving, and we're back there hid behind the stuff that we put ourselves in. Amen. Amen. I don't have many more. I'll hurry up. I know time's getting late. But listen here. Also, our financial problems can do that. Our job can create a position that we get ourselves in that we say, well, I'm going to justify myself. I'm going to justify myself. I can't help do nothing. Why? Because I have to work so-and-so. I'm telling you, I know we have to work. We all have to tarry. But yet, the time that we can do it, we need to do what we can do. Amen. We don't never let it need to be. I've seen people say, I'm not going to come to church because of my kids. Just chills come up all down my body because I say, my Lord, the Lord can move that problem. Amen. Talking about children, church. You've never put nothing in the way of God. Don't ever let something be in the way of God because God can remove that. Amen. Amen. But sometimes, most of all, I feel like the reason a lot of people get behind stuff and hide in the church is they're scared of failure. They're scared of failure. They don't think I can do the job. I've been